Good evening, everyone. We find ourselves on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph on 23A. And we're actually continuing in the middle, almost in the middle of the daf. We are, or middle of the Amud rather, we are at the words, O Al Gavei Gamal. So this is a quote from our Mishnah. It should be very clearly, if you're looking in an art scroll or a Koran or whatever you're using, it should very clearly be delineated as a separate section. I would imagine it's probably the second page in art scroll, if I were to wager, but those who have the art scroll can give us a definitive ruling on that. Okay, so the words, oh, I'll gotta be good. Oh, Toby, what? Yeah, you're muted, but you're muted.
It's on 23A1.
Oh, it's still on the first. Oh, still on the first one. Oh, wow. Okay.
Uh-huh.
They get a lot on there. Okay. So okay, here we go. So Al Gabi Gamal. So again, we're on Chaf Gimel 23A. Okay. So the Mishnah, just to rehash, what the Mishnah said was that you could put a sukkah on a camel, albeit you're not allowed to actually use it. You're not allowed to go on it on Yom Tov because there's a general gezeirah that one is not allowed to ride animals on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Nothing new over there. So Masisa Mani, who is our Mishnah in accordance with? Rabbi Meir he. It's with Rabbi Meir. D'tanya, ha'osesu kasel agave behema. Rabbi Meir machshir Rabbi Yehuda posel. So someone who puts their sukkah on top of an animal, so Rabbi Meir says it's okay, Rabbi Huda says it's not okay. So my time is Rabbi Huda. Why does Rabbi Huda say it's not okay? Amar kra, chag hasukos tasalach shivas yamim, sukkah haru'uya l'shiva shmei sukkah, sukkah she'ena ru'uya l'shiva lo shmei sukkah. So Rabbi Huda says that such a sukkah needs to be usable for all 7 days of Yom Tov. But it's not usable for all 7 days of Yom Tov because there's going to be certain days that you're not allowed to ascend it on the first days and last days of Yom Tov. Rabbi Meir, Hanami Midoraisa Mitzvah Chazia. So what's Rabbi Meir Shita? He actually agrees. He says, though, that Midoraisa, on a biblical level, the sukkah is a legitimate sukkah. Rabbanan who did Gazruba, but it was Rabbanan who came along with the Gezerah. What do we mean the Rabbanan came along with the Gezerah? There should be a Rashi on that. Yes, Rashi says Haruya L'Shiva. Vahasha de Gazer Rabbanan in Olim La Nimsi She'ina Ruya Liyom Rishon. So the Riffa points out something interesting. The Riffa says it sounds like they're both saying the same thing. That Midoraisa, had the rabbis not come into the equation, it would be a sukkah that's usable for 7 days. You can go on a camel any of the 7 days. It's only after the rabbis mandated that one should not ascend an animal on Shabbos and Yom Tov that we have an issue. So then what really is the difference between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? So the Riffa points out as follows. Let me pull out my Riffa. The Riffa says, this is not in your Gemaras. B'vadai to Rabbi Yehuda Nami Isura de Behema de Rabbanan Hu. Now Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the issue of using a sukkah on a camel is rabbinical in origin. Hu elishu sorja kach din Torah lifsol kol sukkah she'ina ra'uya l'shiva me'ezet sad ve'inyan shiya v'arehi psu min haTorah. So what's happening is that Rabbi Akiva says, oh, let me ask you the following question. Let's say you do use this sukkah at the end of the day. Did you fulfill the mitzvah of singing a sukkah on Yom Tov? Well, that is, according to Riffa, the machlokis between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Akiva. Sorry, am I getting the names wrong over here? Rabbi Yehuda and, yeah, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Akiva. For Rabbi Akiva, you actually do fulfill the mitzvah midoraisa. You do fulfill the mitzvah of singing a sukkah midoraisa when you're on that camel. But rabbinically, you don't fulfill whatever the rabbinical level requirement is. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, the way we define a sukkah, even biblically, is it usable for 7 straight days? And some of those days are Shabbos and Yom Tov proper. And so even though those restrictions were actually mandated and circumscribed by the rabbis, since now I'm not able to use the sukkah for 7 straight days, it's a deficiency in its status as a sukkah, even on a deoraisa level, even biblically. So this,
Rabbi,
by, yes, Erwin.
By the modern application of this, building a sukkah on a moving object, like a train or a ship or a truck.
So this is a good question, Erwin. So in the sugya of bicycles on Shabbos, one of the suggestions to aser bicycles on Shabbos is that in theory it should be the same concern of animals. What's the concern when you ride an animal? That you'll break a branch off. That's aser to do on Shabbos, and to use it as a whip. So one of the suggestions there was, well, A, we don't have a concern of you need to whip your bicycle to make it move faster, but B, more fundamentally, we don't have the power nor the right to start making our own gezeiros. We're not chazal. We can't start instituting new rabbinical level prohibitions. So since trains and cars and what have you, you know, maybe there's other issues, but it wouldn't be under the rubric of this prohibition of riding animals on Shabbos, because the rabbis could not be gozer on something that did not yet exist. It would not have fallen under that gezeira when it was instituted. Does that make sense? That, by the way, is what's it called? Pyrex. So every Pesach, I get questions about Pyrex, and the Ramah says that you're not supposed to, the Ashkenazim can't kosher glass. But maybe one of the leniencies for Pyrex is that Pyrex is its own unique, right? It's called Pyrex. It's not the same as glass. So maybe any minhag that we took upon ourselves to be stringent vis-a-vis glass, even though you might say a similar logic, you know, that's debatable, could apply to Pyrex, the Gezeira or minhag never actually was accepted vis-a-vis Pyrex. And so there's more room to be lenient for Ashkenazim when it comes to Pyrex versus glass proper. That's just another area that comes in. I should add, Atobia. Yeah.
But going back to Irwin's question, though, isn't Irwin's question sort of dealt with by the first part of the Mishnah?
Oh, the boat.
The wagon, let's say.
A wagon, even better.
Because a wagon can be totally stopped. It doesn't, you know, it's not like you have to worry that it's going to move unless you, you know, turn it on or something like that. So if that's permissible, I would think
yeah,
a truck is the same, or you know,
I like your point, Toby. Right, even if we're willing to make analogies here, perhaps the wagon is more. It's interesting. Is the cow more analogous, or is the wagon more analogous? I guess maybe the wagon is more equivalent to when you have like not RVs, but you have the trailer RV that's pulled by the pickup truck. So maybe it's like the equivalent of the RV trailer absent the pickup truck. If we were to start
like
making analogies.
But the point is, an animal, you can't, you know, the animal has its own volition. It might move even if you don't want it to move.
Right.
But something like a wagon that's not hitched to an animal is going to stay still.
Interesting. Yeah, I like all these different comparisons you're drawing. By the way, while we're at it, so you know how we just said this whole discussion is on the premise that a sukkah is defined as a structure that could last 7 days. Nothing new over here. So here's a question which I've wondered about, and I don't know if I found the most, personally satisfying answers, but our good friend Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein in Chashukei Chemed, he asks, well, we know, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that, you know, if you're in a tight spot, you're, even though there's very strict parameters as to what you can use as your schach, you could virtually use anything for walls. You can even use human beings as walls. Now, what's the issue? The issue is, Ein adam yachol lamod shlosha yamim b'lo shena. No human being can last more than 3 days without sleep. So how is this considered a viable structure for 7 days if these humans that make up your wall are eventually going to conk out and have to fall asleep? It's a good question, right? So one answer is Efshir lahavilo mita shetia muneches balachso megova yud. Maybe you could kind of like bring in some mattresses and put them on an angle that the humans are still like resting on it, but they're still 10 fucking tall. That's one answer. I'll just give the second one and I'll take your point, Paul. The second one, but based on the Maharsham, is that it says in the Pasuk, what are the words? It's the words are has to be Shivas Yamim, 7 days. Ah, Yamim below Lelos. Maybe they just have to stand there during the daytime. During the nighttime, they could go to sleep. So that might still fall within the definition of how humans can be used as walls for a sukkah. Paul.
So, am I reading this correctly that the sukkah has to, when you build a sukkah, the intent is that it should be able to stand for 7 days or 8 days? What
Right.
about a pop-up sukkah?
Yeah. So here's the difference. The difference between does versus can. It has the potential. Meaning, this is a way of evaluating the structure itself. So it has the ability. This is, by the way, there's a very broad, I could send you, I put together a small Parsha essay on this a while back. There's an overarching principle in Shas called Kol HaRoy LeBila Ein Bila Ma'akevis. So it's this idea that comes up with making mixtures for the offerings in the temple. And basically, if you have the right proportion of the flour and everything, but you hadn't yet mixed it together, since the ingredients are there, it's ra'oi, it has the potential, it doesn't have to actually be mixed together. So there's this principle, it's called Kol HaRoy LeBila, and it's a principle you see throughout many areas of halacha that you don't necessarily have to do the action, but you need the circumstances set up that you have the potential to do the action. So this might be one of those where it may not stand for 7 days, but it is structurally strong enough that it could last 7 days, or meaning and can be used for 7 days. So I think that's, would that address your concern vis-a-vis pop-up sukkahs?
Yeah, no, I think so, but I guess the answer is you can't have a disposable sukkah, which would never last for more than a couple of days.
Correct. Yes, that would be accurate, because this is just an interesting example in the Gemara where halachically you're not able to use it on those 7 days. But if something physically prevented it from lasting those 7 days, it also that would be the more classic example of where a sukkah literally cannot last 7 days. So that's even more direct.
Rabbi, what about this one? You have human beings around, around all four walls. So you're starting with all four. And then on a rotation basis, you make sure that there's always at least two and then some for the, kosher side. And then as,
Wow.
people come back, they replace, they go back and forth.
This is
So at any
remarkable.
point,
There was, I think, a Chashuke Chemed where they did talk about swapping in and out. I need to find it. It was earlier in the Masechta. I don't remember his whole analysis, but these are the questions Chashuke Chemed asked. He asked all these like fun questions that I wouldn't think to ask otherwise. One other point I just wanted to make, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. I'll do this, God willing, as an upcoming shiur, as I continue to collect material, is that I find it very interesting that there's basically this ongoing debate in many different flashpoints in halacha, in which do the rabbis have the, now we know that the rabbis have the power to add on to the Torah. They can make gedarim, they can make fences. It's something we see in Ma'aseh B'chol Yom. But do they have the power to change and modify the d'oraisa level? So over here, this is one of those areas where we see there's like, now you could say this is just a local limitation within the parameters of Hilchos Sukkah, but one could say, and I think the Shaar HaMelech goes this way, that this is a broader fundamental machlokas if the rabbis have the power to modify the d'oraisa level. One great example is the laws of Chol HaMoed. What constitutes malacha that you can't do in Chol HaMoed? So the Sefer Chinuch says that Chazal were given the power by the Torah to determine the parameters. The Torah says, "Do not do malacha." But what constitutes malacha? So the rabbis had the power to actually modify and choose what is called the d'oraisa level. So I personally, I find it fascinating. I don't want to give away the whole shiur right now, but we even saw earlier in the Masechta. Remember, Tosafos had a question that he had a question basically about Gezeiras Tikra, and that on a doraisa level, had it not been for the rabbis, in his Havamina, it seems that you could build flimsy schach that, sorry, that you'd be able to build strong schach that the rain could not penetrate. So then he had the question was, how could God say it's a simen klala, that it's a curse, if it rains? How could it be a curse if it rains on Yom Tov? Because on a doraisa level, you could build an airtight schach. And then Tosa says, don't ask me about midrabanan. You're not allowed to make airtight schach because that's the rabanan. So there's this question, like, could the rabanan definition even interact with a doraisa level curse? Anyway, I don't want to go too far afield, but that's this is, I think, one example of a broader sugya about the rabbis have the power to affect even a doraisa level. Okay, sorry, I can't hold myself back. One more example. Let's say there are witnesses who are puzzle on a durabanan level. So there is a question. I gave this as Dvar Halacha to Min Chamar the other evening. There's a question. The Shulchan Aruch says that if they want to be married, they have to get remarried with kosher witnesses on a durabanan level. And if they want to get divorced, then they have to actually get divorced. Now, what's the tension over here? The concern is that we don't know whether witnesses who are pasul only midrabanan, they're misahi bakubi, they're gamblers, they're only pasul midrabanan, if that means that the kiddushin is ineffective. Maybe you're married on a doraisa level and you're not married on a durabanan level. Because on a doraisa level, these two men are valid witnesses, but the rabbis came on and said they're not valid witnesses. So do the rabbis have the power to say that your kiddushin that really should work on a doraisa level never happened? So that's another area in halacha where it's unclear, and there's a lot of literature on it. And God willing, we'll discuss in a future share. Okay, back to the Gemara. Let's go back to the Gemara. Back to Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. All right, we are up to Asa lebehema dofen lesukkah. So we just talk about a human serving as a wall of a sukkah. Let's do something just only slightly less bizarre, but still a little bit bizarre. Can you use an animal as a wall for your sukkah? Right, continuing down all the Dr. Seuss ideas here. Raymeir Posler Ehuda Machshir. So now Raymeir is the one who's passels, and Ehuda says it is a kosher wall. Okay, Rabbi Huda's fine with it. Very good. We leave Rabbi Huda aside. Let's go to Rabbi Meir. Shahai Rabbi Meir Omer. So what are all these examples? Rabbi Meir says that anything that has ruach chaim, any living being, a human, an animal, what have you, cannot serve as a wall for a sukkah, a lechi for a mavoi. Remember, the lechi is that bar there at the entrance to the mavoi. The lo pasin biros. Remember, pasin biros is the four corners that kind of make like a pseudo mechitza, a pseudo enclosure, so you could draw water from a well on Shabbos. You can't use them as that. In fact, you know what? I have pictures of my Gemara. They're very amusing, so I'll share them with you. Let's see. Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. Let's see if we could find our cow friends. Right? Who doesn't like funny pictures of cows that come up from the Masechta? Okay. Feast your eyes on all these different examples of... Oh, let me turn the blur off my laptop. Apologize to anyone who's listening only on audio. You won't see this. So here are many examples of cows serving as wolves, or cows serving as a lechi for mavoi, or over here, a cow for pasi biros for the well. So I look at all these remarkable cows over here. Now we're going to talk about cows being tied up in just a moment. So I don't know if that confuses you more, but there's a picture of a cow in the Gemara, so there's one for the record.
Okay. What is a cow in the well?
Not in the well, but helping form a pseudo enclosure around the well. We're not throwing cows in wells, don't worry.
Oh, I didn't know why you needed a cow.
Well, basically on Shabbos, right, you're not allowed to transfer and carry, so we need to make like an enclosure around the well so you could draw water from it. And so these cows are kind of serving in place of the physical walls that are there. So, but Rabbi Meir is saying is that you dafka cannot use an animal for these things. And then, right, so you can't use for possibly roast. We'll go el a kever. It's what I referenced this morning and then Thursday morning for some of the folks there. You cannot use it as the thing to seal off a grave. And Mishumarbi Yossi Aglili Amru Af in Kosan of Gite Nashim. This is a very fascinating sugya when one is studying Gittin. This comes up. They cannot write a get on an animal either. So that's a discussion there in the Gemara, if you can write a get on an animal. So here he says no. Okay, so right, so people have to be very resourceful back in the day. You can just go to Staples and have them take care of all these things for you. Now, okay, very good. Now let's understand, what does Rav Meir have against animals? Or maybe he just really loves animals, and that's why he doesn't want us using them to write gittin on them. Either way, Maitaima to Rabbi Meir. So it's a machlokis to understand why Rabbi Meir was opposed to using animals for a wall. Abai Amar Shema Tamus. Rabbi Zer Amar Shema Tivra. So Abai says maybe they will die and then they'll keel over and you'll lose your wall. Or Rabbi Zer says maybe they will just run away and there goes your wall again. So what we have to understand is these are both reasonable explanations, but why was it necessary to give us two different explanations? It's because there must be a nafkamina between which one you consider to be the primary concern. What's that nafkamina? What's that practical difference between those two elucidations of Rabbi Meir? The peel kashor. Okay, maybe there's a picture of an elephant in there. I have to check back, but I think we can imagine an elephant in place of a cow. The peel kashor kule amalo pligi. Everyone agrees that when you tie down an elephant, dinami mais yesh binivaso asara, if it kills over and dies, you still got well over 10 tefachim from an elephant that's fallen over. And if it's tied down, obviously it's not going anywhere. It's not running away. Keep pligi, the peel she'eno kashor, their debate pertains to a case in which the elephant is not bound to form a wall. L'mad domar shema tamos lo chayshinan. L'mad domar gizir shema tivra chayshinan. So according to one who says that if it dies, we're not concerned. Well, we're not concerned because if it kills over, you still got your 10 tefachim. But according to Manda Amar, who says maybe it'll run away, well, in absence of a rope, it might run away. So the debate is what Rabbi Meir would say. Maybe Rabbi Meir would say if it's tied down, then according to the Shita that it would run away, we'd have no problem. The issue is when it's not tied down, that's when Rabbi Meir would be machmir according to one opinion and not according to the other opinion. Okay. Lamad Amar Gizera Shema Tamus Nega Shema Tivra. But wait a minute. Even the Shita that says that Rabbi Meir's primary concern is the animal might die, you have to admit, the chances of it running away are also pretty good. So I'm not sure why we're only worried it's going to die. We should really be worried that maybe it'll run away also if it's not on a leash. So rather, what is the nafkamina between these two shitas? Rather, el bepil she'eino kasher kliyama lo pligi. Everyone agrees that the animal is not tied down. Everyone agrees we're worried it'll run away. Ki pligi bebehema kishura. Rather, when the animal is tied down, l'mad amar gizera shema tamus chayshinan. According to Madamar, who says that maybe it will die, we are concerned. And Laman to Amar, that we might lose the amount that we need. And Laman to Amar, Gezer Shema Tivrach Lo Chai Shinan. But if it's tied down, we're not worried it's going to run away. And now we do the reverse. Laman to Amar, I know there's a little bit of ping pong over here. Laman to Amar, Gezer Shema Tivrach Necha Shema Tamas. Well, the same way we asked before, that if you're concerned that's going to die, shouldn't you be concerned it's going to run away also? Well, according to the sheet that says we're primarily concerned it's going to run away, I get you're primarily concerned it'll run away, but aren't you worried that it also might die? That's also a possibility. Well, this, we have an answer. Misa lo shchicha. It's more likely an animal will run away. It's less likely to assume that, you know, the animal is just going to drop dead out of nowhere. Right? So I was listening to some podcast while I was walking to shul today, And they're trying to figure out why all the other Republican candidates are staying in the race. So they're coming up with all these theories. They're hoping like, oh, maybe the front runner is gonna drop dead and die. And I'm like, well, okay, what are the chances of that? So, well, maybe it depends on one's health situation. But ain't come makom laharach on that. So, but we say nisa lo shkicha. You can't make plans on the basis that someone's gonna die. Okay, very good. I see some people are very hopeful over here. We're not going to go in that territory. Vaika. So here's the question. Here's the question that we have. Very good. You have a live animal that is roped into place, but last I checked, animals have legs, and last I checked, there's airspace between the legs, and that's airspace. So how, and the airspace, these are big animals, are more than three tefachim. In fact, remember when we were talking about Tumah and Tahara recently, we mentioned that those cows that the children would walk on are more than 10. I think we mentioned that they're more than 10 tefachim tall. I have to look back at the Gemara over there. But we mentioned that they're quite a number of tefachim tall in terms of an ohel. So how do we account for that? You stuck lots of tree branches and lulav branches in there. So this is a very creative wall you're making here. You put an animal in there, then you stick lots of vegetation under the animal to fill up the gaps. Udilma Rava, but shouldn't you be concerned that maybe the animal is going to just crush all of these vegetables under it, and then you don't have anything left? So the Mischa Ashli Mili'il, you are basically like, it's not like a suspending sort of. You kind of tie these ropes and make sure that they're taut, so it keeps the animal in place. This is like don't tell this to any of the federal departments that are supposed to regulate how animals are treated. That's all I could tell you. Lamad Omar Gzeir Shematamos. Wait a minute, but once we're willing to say that that is the scenario that we are addressing with Rabbi Meir, then let's just think back for a moment. Remember we said that we had a concern that if the animal's not tied down, that maybe it will die. Well, what's the big deal? If you tie the animal in place, it's even if it dies, it's going to stay where it is because it can't move. So, Zimnim de Muki Laba Pugs Mishlosha Samach Leschach, Ukema de Maisa, Kavutsa Ulav Adate. So, what's going to happen is that many times, you will kind of put it in place where the cow or whatever animal you're using at this point, I guess it'd be smaller than a cow or a calfling, is 7 tefachim tall, or 7.1 tefachim tall, whatever it is, and you're relying on lavud to make up the last few tefachim that doesn't quite reach to the schach, to connect the schach with the animal. But the problem is, once the animal dies, it's going to like slump a little bit, and then you lose your lavud, and you're not going to notice that. And that's why, even according to Rami, or according to that elucidation, you would not be able to use an animal that that is tied down out of concern that it'll die, and you'll lose your wool. So, practical conclusion: don't try this at home. Be nice to your animals. Don't use them as wools for your sukkah. And I don't know, don't do kaparis. Well, no, okay. Consult your local Orthodox rabbi if you want to do kaparis. Don't consult me on that one. All right. Any questions, my friends?
Were
Paul.
these real? Were these real issues? Or what was the point?
Yeah, so this is, well, there's two things we say. One is, I don't have the historical ability to assess this, to what degree it's true, but I mean, I think, for our legal personalities here, could appreciate that. You, when you want to get to the essence of an issue, you'll probe abstract cases that seem ridiculous, but we use them to really probe the essence of a law. And you have to use these kind of really wacky test cases to really understand the parameters and the essence of something. So that's oftentimes what the Gemara does when we have really wacky scenarios. We're trying to probe the essence of the halakha itself by using them as test cases. But it's an excellent question, Paul, to ask. It's an overall question we need to ask about many sugyos in Gemara. I know we've had relatively drier ones in some recent weeks, but there's all sorts of fantastic scenarios that are even more bizarre than this. So, buckle up throughout Shas. You'll get even more fun scenarios. All right. Shkayach, everybody, and wishing you all a wonderful Shabbos. I'll be giving, by the way, a 10:30 share of the Shabbos. So I invite you to join. We'll be doing on Hasagas Gvul on competitive business practices in Halacha with a particular angle on breakaway minyanim. Oh, should be fun, right?
I can get out of my little
Cool.
road. It's so covered with ice. Nobody should walk there unless they like absolutely like Irwin, think twice before you go that way to see the kids. It's
Okay, thank
a
you.
death trap.
All right, everyone, and remember to.
I've been trying to get somebody to come and throw down stuff or whatever. It's not happening. I don't know if I can make it out, I'll make it out.
Everyone, remember to re-listen to our shiur on Can You Shovel Snow from 2 years ago, which was encouraged by your question, if I remember correctly. Oh, did I just
Ski
lose it?
poles and cleats.
Did I just lose
Yeah.
you guys?
Yeah.
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 Right.
All right. Have a good
Okay.
job. Stay
Good
safe.
job, everybody. All right.
Thank
Stay
you.
safe.
Thank you for the warnings.